What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 415, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me in his KY, is that a KY shirt?
KC.
Or KC, that's what I meant. Yeah, KC. Shirts. Is Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just enjoying summer. Got home from work, hopped in the neighborhood pool for about half an hour.
Getting some color.
Trying.
I got a couple weeks ago, I got burnt really bad. I did a hike and my whole back of my neck was just burnt. And then it all fell out, all my skin fell off. Summer, it's crazy because, you know, we're going to be coming into August, and it's like, then we're just gearing up for holiday season, thinking about CES coming up. We were just talking about CES before we got on here. I feel like this year is just flying by.
They get faster every year, it feels like.
Everything's just going by so quickly. But lots of cool stuff to talk about. Obviously, we've had some pretty big things in the news. If you work in IT, you had a crazy was that last week? That was Friday, right?
Friday, yeah.
Yeah, you had a crazy week on Friday. We'll definitely talk about that. Pretty cool product that I have sitting in front of me that we're going to talk about, and stuff with Intel, NVIDIA, and Noctua that we're going to be talking about. We're talking about a bunch of stuff today on the podcast. So if you guys do want to follow along, we have our show notes page right here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you did want to click through with us as we're going along, or of course, if you are listening later and you were like, oh, what were they talking about? We have all the articles that we're going to be talking about, as well as the reviews and everything like that. So you can definitely go ahead and follow along. And we'll talk about the first product this week, and it's right here. And I don't have the lights on because the lights
turn off. It's very glossy looking.
Yeah, it is glossy. That's one of the very slides. So this is, let me make myself big here so we can, so you guys can kind of see this. But this is a very awesome 75% mechanical keyboard, completely see-through. And I'll turn on the lights here. Oops. As I hit the button on the keyboard. But it has some really cool RGB lighting. And the cool thing about it is that the keycaps are see-through. So you get really cool lighting. And again, I just have the yellow on and it's just doing like sort of like a matrix thing, but it's full RGB lighting and there's lighting all around it and on the back. If I turn this around so you can see all in the back, like it looks awesome sitting here on my desk. So this is the Kaibum Phantom 81 V2. And this is, like I said, 75% mechanical keyboard, gasket mount design. They have a bunch of different color options. Obviously, the cool thing is going to be that RGB lighting. So we'll take a look at that. Where did I put that in the review? Last page? Yes, here we go. So, this thing just looks so cool when it's all lit up, especially if you're in the dark. You can just see the different color options. And this is like with the clear acrylic casing, it really, really shines, especially again, sitting on your desk. And again, you can configure this outer lighting independently of the per key RGB lighting. So if you just want the casing, and then there's different effects that the casing can do as well. So this thing looks bad.
I like the smoky look of the plastic.
Yeah, so this is the black colorway. We'll go to a normal picture of the keyboard here. The black colorway, let's go to this page, is going to be like the clear acrylic casing with a gold top plate and gold accents. Then you have these sort of smoked clear keycaps with gold legends on them as well. So that's the kind of colorway. Alex in the chat asked, can you turn off the lights? Needed sometimes. Yeah, you can completely turn off the lights if you want to. You don't have to have them on. Like I said, you can have the outer lights on if you want to and just have the keys have no lights. It's just, you can do whatever you want with the RGB lighting. So And then old man asks, that's just the one thing. One of the issues with the keyboard is how legible is the keycaps with the LEDs on? Yeah, if you're in the dark, you can't see the legends at all with the lighting on. That's why I have it sort of in this matrix kind of going. So some of the keycaps aren't lit up. So because if you're in the dark and you're looking down at the
keyboard, and maybe find your way.
Yeah, it's very hard to see. So that's one of the downfalls of this keyboard. Like I said, I get away with it with like this sort of matrix thing that I have going on. But yeah, very hard to see the legends on the keycaps if you're in the dark. If you're in a lit room, it's fine. But if you're in the dark, it is very, very hard to see. Just like most 75% keyboards, you have this sort of breakout section on the side. This one does have the volume knob, and it is pretty nice looking as well. Has some grooves cut into it, so you get some good traction if you are going to go ahead and use it, which is nice. The one thing that is different about this too is that the keycaps aren't like a PBT or anything like that. They're see-through, so they feel, if you use the keyboard for the first time, I would say they feel a little slippy. You have to get used to the keycaps because they're this clear sort of acrylic. I don't know if they're acrylic, but they're, like I said, they just feel a little slippy at first use. So you definitely have to keep that in mind. It will take a little bit of time to get used to these keycaps, especially if you're going, you know, coming from something like a double shot PBT keycap. But I do like the way they feel now. Initially, when I first got this keyboard, I was like, yeah, I'm going to swap this out as soon as I'm done with the review. But it's still sitting on my desk, which means that I actually do like it. As far as the switches, these are Kaiboom's own crystal mechanical switches. It's a linear switch. Don't know all that much about them, you know, if who makes them or anything like that. But we do have a hot swappable design. And you can see that top plate in there as well. Hot swappable is great. If you did want to swap out the key switches later on, you can go ahead and do that.
They give you the tools.
Yeah, they give you the tools. They give you all that stuff. Yeah. They actually give you tools to take the entire keyboard apart too.
Oh, wow.
So there's actually a screwdriver in the box. You have a keycap puller and a switch puller and two extra switches come in the box here as well. So you have that, which is really nice. Oops, I keep on going to the wrong pages in this review for some reason. And then as far as height adjustment, there is no height adjustment at all in this. So it's just going to sit like this. There's no pop-out feet or anything like that. I feel it sits perfect for me. It doesn't feel flat. I've had a couple of these that don't offer any height adjustment that they felt really flat. This feels pretty much perfect for me, at least. So I really like that about it. As far as your connectivity goes, this is going to be a wireless keyboard. You can use it wired as well. And it's Bluetooth 2.4 gigahertz as well as just regular USB. The USB dongle has a little place in the back here, and you can see it's one of those micro USB-A dongles. You just plug this in. It's going to sync up. You don't have to really do anything. And then here you can see the back of the keyboard. It does have this really nice inlay with the Kaiboom logo. It's a heavy, very heavy keyboard, which I really like heavy keyboards. And it just looks so cool, but it is quite comfortable to type on as well. We do have a full typing test in the review if you want to check that out. It does have software if you want to configure anything with the software. You can change the lighting on the keyboard itself without the software, but if you want to reprogram any keys or anything like that, you have to use the software. It's quite easy to use. It's nothing special, but it gets the job done, has your macro editor. And one thing that's cool about this is that you can go ahead and actually upload your own lighting settings, but you can find other people who have used the same keyboard and they upload their own settings and you can just download those. So if you're like lazy and you're like, I want a cool, you know, lighting show on my keyboard, you can just go through and there's a bunch. There's 63 pages of lighting settings that you can go through that people have shared. So really cool that you can go ahead and do that. So I definitely like that. The keyboard is extremely comfortable. Like I said, it does take a little bit of time to get used to just because, again, the keycaps are slippy. You're just, if you're going from PBT to this, you will notice a difference. And like just like Old Man said, and I experienced as well, if you have it all lit up like you see right here and you're looking down on it, you will not be able to read the legends. If you're very good on your keyboard and you don't need to look down to kind of catch where your fingers are, you'll be fine. Or like I said, a lot of people have like the overhead light on their monitor that will alleviate that as well. But if you're strictly kind of in the dark with this, you won't be able to see the legends. So just keep that in mind. Cause even if you look at these pictures, like, can you see the legends on there?
No, they look 100% clear.
Yeah. So you can't see the legends at all. Here you go as well. Like you can't see them if you're in the dark. So you definitely want some lighting, but I mean, look how cool the back looks of this. Just sitting there. So it does look really awesome. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. You can buy it directly from Diveboom for $159. For some reason on Amazon, it's like over 200, but you can buy it directly from Kaiboom. You can buy it directly from their website. And there are a couple different colorways. I really like this colorway, like this, the black with the gold and everything. It's sort of steampunky kind of looking, in my opinion. But they do have, like, they have the pink, they have the all clear, which you can essentially customize with RGB lighting. They have the all clear, they have a blue or a teal, and then they have a purple. So you can kind of, customize it.
The best.
Yeah, I really like the black. I mean, it looks awesome. But for $159, pre-made keyboard, gasket mount design, it doesn't feel, there's no pinging or anything like that. They do have a pour on layer under the inside the actual casing, so it does feel good when you're typing on it as well. So yeah, I really like it. It's just you have to get used to the keycaps, and again, in the dark you're not going to be able to see the legends, so that's kind of the trade-off that you're going to get for a keyboard like this. But check out the review if you are interested. Obviously I go into a lot more detail on it, but yeah, some really, like I said, really cool keyboard. And I plan to keep on using it. So we'll see if I have another keyboard that I'll be testing soon. So we'll see if that one replaces this one. That's what happens in my keyboard world, is I keep on getting them to review and one replaces the other. And I just keep on going through. Go ahead.
No, it's just sweet.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that, like, that rotating.
Yeah. And then if you ever get bored of a keyboard, like sometimes I'll get bored of a keyboard and I'm just like, oh, I'll just swap one out. I have a bunch, we'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build from customrigs.de, and this one is their Magnus 2, which it's done inside the Comp Case Magnus 2 case. That's why it's called that, which is a pretty massive sort of open air case. Love the colors on this. Again, it's this big open air kind of design case, which I actually kind of like. I like the open air kind of design, and it does have that BitsPower block that doesn't have any tubing. The tubing's all in the back. Right. Would you do a build with that type of block?
I mean, yes, I would, but for my next build, no. Like, I still want to go smaller form factor, so that's not in the chips right now. But I would do one. I think it looks cool. Right from this view, like this angle, you don't see any tubing, at all, which is cool. Even though it's a fully liquid cooled PC, so I'd definitely do one.
Yeah,
and as long as the performance was there, right?
Yeah. See. I haven't really researched testing on this actual block.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, but like I said, pretty cool dual radiators, as you can see. So definitely a lot of cooling going on in this. You can see the front there. So on one side, you have your system. And then on the back, it looks like they have the res and pump. It does look really cool, though. We talked about this last week, like having like an open air type system.
Yeah,
I do miss that. It's just,
that's not my favorite.
Okay,
I'm not against them, but like, it's not my preference.
Okay. Yeah, it kind of depends on what you're going for. I just think for like something sitting on the desk, it would look nice having an open air.
Yeah, if you have a lot of desk space, especially to put one like this at an angle, right? Because you're not going to line this up like front to back like a standard case. You're going to have it either at an angle or sideways, you know, like that. So that takes up a considerable amount of desk space. Plus, once you have all your HDMI and DisplayPort and USB connected to this motherboard.
Yeah, like, you're right. You would have to route it down and like out the back.
Right.
Like,
yeah, you'd want to make it look good.
Yeah, you wouldn't want like all these wires coming out. Yeah, you're right. Always got to think about
some like 90 degree connectors or something, you know?
Yeah. And it's pretty interesting. So there's like soft tubing on this side going under the case and back.
Yeah, I think it was, I think it's pretty much all soft tubing outside of the.
Yeah, very cool. I like this. I like the color choice too with the orange sort of design. I think it just really looks good.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen it a lot lately.
Yeah. It reminds me of, oh, what was that case brand? Cougar? That was like their colors for a while. Or even Be Quiet. It was the orange. So yeah, it reminds me of that. But yeah, really cool case. So shout out to customrigs.de for that. And of course, we have links to their Facebook if you want to check them out as well. We have it all there. And of course, all the information on the build, if you are interested, like, oh, what's that piece? What's, you know, what did he use? It's all listed in the post there. So you can go ahead and check that out. So, Friday, I sent you a message.
Man, too soon.
I sent you a message, and you told me, Ryan, if you guys don't know, Ryan works in IT as his full-time job. And you had said, I've been up since 2 a.m. Fixing things. So
been at work since 2 a.m.
You've been at work.
Woke up.
So can you explain in the best terms possible kind of what happened with CrowdStrike and Microsoft and how it affected like you, I guess, your work and how obviously it affected pretty much everything?
Yeah. So like a real basic, explanation is that CrowdStrike has a piece of software that's kind of similar to what you would consider like an antivirus or, just security. It's cybersecurity software on the companies run on machines to protect them, right? Does a variety of things to keep your machine protected against all sorts of threats. So like that's its purpose in life. So they pushed out an update to a percentage of their customers' machines globally that ended up essentially restarting your computer and blue screen of deathing it, right? So meaning you get into this boot loop where you can't get out of it. It's just a blue screen of death over and over again. So that's what I woke up to at 1:40 in the morning and came in and spent, you know, all the next day resolving things. So the resolution to it initially, you know, kind of found by the community, but then quickly picked up by CrowdStrike was, hey, you can get into safe mode or the recovery environment of Windows, browse to this directory at a command prompt, delete this offending file, restart, and you'll be able to boot, which fixed a lot of people's systems. However, like that was like a very manual thing because at that point you can't do any remote remediation of those systems. It was something where you had to have hands on these systems, unfortunately. So that's like a big pain in the ass already. In my environment, however, that directory wasn't accessible to us when we would attempt to go to that directory and delete the file. So we had to add some additional layers there, you know, we had some protections on the drives that made it so that we couldn't access that portion. You have things like BitLocker encryption from Microsoft involved as well, where you need to have BitLocker keys in order to decrypt the drive in order to work on it outside of the standard operating system environment. So yeah, it was just a lot of work, manual work on multiple machines, at least across our environments to get them up and going. But we had like 95% done by Friday afternoon.
That's good.
You know, hundreds of machines we had to touch, but we had a really good team effort and good game plan pretty early on, you know, figuring out exactly what we needed to do and get it resolved. But there's folks, you know, that are still affected by it and still digging their way out. You know, it affected a lot of airlines. The things you saw in the news were like airlines, banks, healthcare, right? But it's that those are just like the main maybe impact. Yeah, there was, where you'd see the most impact. I mean, thousands of flights canceled.
Yeah, they said thousands of flights canceled. There's this cool, this guy posted on Twitter or X of the flights.
Oh, getting, yeah, the
flights getting grounded, like everything got grounded. So if you look at this, it's like normal, and then it's just like no flights, like hardly any flights, you know. They said the only one really wasn't affected was Southwest
because they don't run it. And now like a lot of people are like, thank God my company is too poor or too cheap to buy CrowdStrike, so we weren't affected by it. And you're like, yeah, it must be nice, right? But because it is costly, right? But it also gave us like insight into what companies do run CrowdStrike. So
yeah,
you see a lot of that. You see how big their install base is. It was like 8.1 million systems that were affected by this, but that's not their whole install base, right? They do have waves that they push this out. It just happened to be this wave was about 8 million systems, or at least affected them. So like you multiply that by how many waves they would have had, and you see how big their install base is, and you see some of these customers and who they are. I know my wife, her company was affected by it because I was leaving as I was walking out the door that early that morning. Her office was glowing blue in her room, and I peeked my head in and was like, yeah, sorry, your system's hit by this too, but I gotta go fix stuff at my work. Like I can't fix yours right now.
Yeah I had some friends that were flying that day, and they're like, yeah, I'm stuck, like I can't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty crazy, and it makes you realize how dependent we are. I mean, we've always been, I would say, since like the early 2000s, quite dependent on computer systems for everything. But when all of the computer systems are running the same thing, and that one thing has an error or an issue, it can globally affect millions of people and millions of services that we're just so used to having, like banking services or whatever it may be. You know, like you said, flights, healthcare.
And it also really shows like how deep and how much access CrowdStrike has to your system in general, because they're able to fix it now by just like telling you to reboot, essentially. So that means like they're able to push data to you, to your system, before you're really even, you know, before you're into Windows, right, to resolve this issue, which is kind of wild, because you would think, oh, well, they won't be able to do anything because the OS hasn't booted yet. But they're so early into the boot process that they can affect your machine outside of you being inside the operating system.
It all obviously makes you, you know, they have access to that many machines. It really makes you think of security. It makes you think of all of those things, because something could be injected into millions of machines, it seems, quite easily if somebody were to gain access to CrowdStrike at some point. Yeah. So, yeah.
There were also jokes like, you know, CrowdStrike did what so many, you know, bad guys have been trying to do for the longest time, and they did it on accident, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of
fun. Yeah, definitely. Definitely open some eyes. The memes were so good.
Oh, they were great.
We posted a bunch of these memes. Test patches and updates are draw 25 CrowdStrike. Global banking and air traffic infrastructure Windows update.
I love the dude standing there in
then it's closet. Like CrowdStrike beating up Windows, Mac and Linux users. That one was funny. And that one, this, there, yeah, this one, it says engineers at Microsoft right now, just like looking at the server rack, like what's going on? Yeah. The memes were great. And the memes are still coming out. Like the memes are just great. And there's that thing on there. But yeah, I mean, that was just a crazy thing that you didn't realize how big it was. I didn't realize how big it was until like I got on Twitter and I saw everything, and I was like, whoa, like this is bigger than I thought. Because sometimes you have like maybe a banking, like a single, like say Citibank or like, you know, any one of the banking systems go down, it's kind of news, but like everything went down. So it was a pretty interesting day on Friday, especially for you, obviously.
Yep.
Old man said last year he had two computers stuck in a boot loop after Windows update. One was a AMD 3900K and the other one was 6700K. He was able to get into safe mode, but couldn't be repaired or rolled back. So he had to reinstall Windows 11 and freeze update for 2 to 3 weeks. I've got stuck in a couple boot loops and some things in the past. It's always so annoying when I'm like trying to do a review and I switch out something and then everything you have to reinstall. Yep. It's just annoying. It's one of the most annoying things. Reinstalling Windows after you have everything is just, yeah, it is a little annoying. But yeah, like I said, hopefully, you know, CrowdStrike figured it out and it doesn't happen again. But like I said, it really opens the eyes of maybe some nefarious people who want to exploit that.
Definitely.
So we talked about it a little bit. Intel has been having issues with 13th and 14th gen CPUs with crashes, instability, CPUs dying. It's been pretty well covered. Mostly higher end, i7, i9, you know, processors. But Intel finally released a statement talking about the issues, has to do with voltage, and they offer some things you can do to mitigate it. Obviously, they have been giving RMAs to people who have been affected by it, but they are going to be putting out a patch to rectify the voltage issues, and it's expected to come soon. I just still think this is like such bad PR for Intel.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look good.
Yeah,
at all. And it feels like it took quite a while to.
Yeah, they had said nothing to come up with,
right? Yeah,
you know, and multiple people put out videos, and a lot of people have been talking about it, and a lot of people on forums are like, "Yeah, like I'm building a new PC, I'm definitely going AMD now." I don't want these issues with Intel. Like, I don't want to have to, and nobody wants to deal with that. Nobody wants to deal with, I built this new PC, I'm so happy with it, and then I have some issue where something's wrong with my CPU. I can't play my favorite game. It's just like, I've had issues in the past with certain games. Like, you load up the game, you play for like 2 minutes, and then you just get a blue screen, or your system just restarts. And a lot of times, especially the restart has a lot to do with voltage issues. So, yeah, it's just not looking good for Intel. And we talked about that last week. It's just like, yeah, they're just, you know, so, but something that also is a little scary considering all the 13th and 14th gens, especially the i9s, get very hot.
We already complain about temperatures enough.
Yeah, it looks like they're raising the max temperature for upcoming Arrow Lake CPUs to 105 degrees Celsius. What is that, Fahrenheit?
Too much.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like I said, we've already had CPUs get very, very hot. When it comes to like the 14900K, you at least
221.
Yeah, it's crazy. You at least need a 360 millimeter AIO, if not a 420. That's why we saw so many 420s at CES in January, because that's kind of what you need, especially if you're doing intensive CPU work. For the normal person, it's not a big deal, but if you're doing intensive CPU gaming or intensive CPU tasks, whether it's video editing, encoding, different things, running models, you need a heavy, heavy duty CPU cooler. And the fact that the TJ Maxx was set to 100 degrees Celsius, and now they're upping it to 105 degrees Celsius. So that's the temperature that the CPU can reach before the system will shut down or thermally throttle.
What if we're going to start seeing like AIOs and like Dells and Lenovos and HPs, you know what I mean? Like the higher end systems that come with some of these top of the line CPUs.
I think they already do.
Well, outside of like gaming computers, right? I mean,
but I don't think they're putting like a 14900K in a normal
workstation.
Yeah. Or like even like in a normal $1,500 system.
Well, no.
Dell or something like that. Yeah. But it is kind of interesting that we're getting hotter here. You would think with tech, we would be getting more efficient, but
right.
You know,
we're just pushing on the performance.
Yeah. We're pushing performance. And I think again, with Intel and AMD kind of fighting, who's the fastest? They push these chips as far as they can go. And then you have the heat issues. And again, for somebody who's been reviewing CPUs for so long, I remember, like, you know, even 12th, like the 12th gen, like the 12900K, I mean, that thing got decently hot. But then 13th and 14th, you're like, is this okay? Because when you used to, when you, like, the normal testing CPU levels was like what super hot used to be a couple years ago. So,
oh yeah.
And you just wonder, you know, you're running CPU at that hot a lot. How does that affect the lifespan of that CPU? There's a lot going on there, but it looks like it's going to happen. And I think we're going to see 420 millimeter AIOs get pretty mainstream. If you're running a high-end system, just because that's what you're going to need to keep these things
cool. Better start designing some big cases.
Yeah, big cases that will support something like that. So moving on from there to NVIDIA. And I really expected this. I didn't expect to see RTX 50 series before the end of the year. That's just, no. You know.
I was expecting to see them at CES.
Yeah, like, so this is kind of here. Yeah, this is kind of what we're going for. RTX 50 series Blackwell GPUs are likely delayed until CES 2025. That I figured that all the people are like, oh, it's going to come out for holiday. That people always say that every time there's going to be a launch, and you're like, no, it's going to come out later, especially now with everything. It's going to probably be shown or announced at CES with a launch February, March, April time frame for like official availability, in my opinion. You know, this guy, I'm not going to try to say his name because I'll mess it up. He's always good on leaks, and this is what he said. RTX 50 series, you know, until CES, that really makes sense. That's where they would launch it. And you might even see a pushback to GTC, which is a few months after CES. So we'll see. I'm not surprised about this at all. I'm excited for RTX 50 series, but
so I think it was not this CES, but CES 2023, where they had just launched what, the 4070 or 4070 Ti, I think.
I don't remember.
It was like, because I just remember seeing all those cards that I took wonderful pictures of with my phone. But that was because I know it was a 4070 of some sort, but
yeah. It was 4070s. That was funny. If you guys don't know what Ryan's talking about, we were meeting with NVIDIA at CES 2023, and it was like the 4070 Ti launch, and I was I did like a pan of all the cards, and I was like, Ryan, go back in the booth and take pictures of the cards so I can put like a little marquee like on the video showing which card's which. Ryan goes in and like snaps pictures, then he comes back and shows me, and everyone is blurry and you can't read the text. And I was like, Ryan, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? And of course, it's an Android phone, just saying.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was really funny. But yeah, so that's one NVIDIA story. The second one is that they're having a summer sale on GeForce Now. Everything's 50% off, which if you don't have a high-end CPU or GPU, you can stream games to your system. So their priority tier level was $9.99 a month. It's being slashed to $4.99 a month. And then their ultimate tier, it was $20 a month. It's now $9.99 a month. Yeah.
You want to share this?
Oh, hey. Maybe I should put up on the screen so everybody can see what I'm looking at.
Is this temporary? Yeah, limited time.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's temporary. And I only think it's for 6 months or up to 6 months, I believe.
Yeah, if you want to check it out, like 6 months, might as well just buy it all up front. And
yeah, for half off.
Right.
Yeah, if you want to give it a shot. The priority tier is up to 1080p. The ultimate tier is up to 4K. Worth giving it a shot, and you make sure you have good internet. Like if you have very crappy internet, this wouldn't be for you because you're streaming the game from their data center. But it's a cool service, especially if you're like a laptop person or somebody like that and you want to get some gaming in. This is a cool service, and it's nice. Like I said, all these sales are coming together, like Steam Summer Sale, all this stuff, all these sales, Prime Day, everything's kind of coming together, so everybody's running sales. So get a discount where you can if you want to check out GeForce Now. And of course, you can check it out for free Sure. And it's up to 1 hour session length, but it's just sort of like give you an idea of what the service is like if you want to give it a shot. And then maybe you could move up to these other tiers if you want to, but pretty cool. It's always good to see discounts and get more people into gaming. So definitely like that. Moving on to AMD. So we have Ryzen 9000 series coming. A new leak shows that the 9950X, which is going to be their highest tier chip until if an X3D part comes out, it's 12% faster than a 14900KS with unlimited power settings. And we can see the, you know, the comparison here. It's the one in red or orange.
Just red, yeah.
Orange is red. It's kind of hard to see. I know it's hard to see for you guys. But yeah, you expect it to be faster, 12% faster with unlimited power settings, which means you have to turn that up yourself. I would say probably 6 to 7% faster on normal power settings, just I'm guessing.
What color was the normal?
I don't think they have.
Oh, they didn't have. Okay. Okay.
Nope. Yeah, I don't know. They have 5950X. Yeah, but I think it's kind of expected. Just like we talked about, you know, when this comes out, AMD is going to say we have the fastest, ours is the fastest. And then when Intel comes out with 15th gen, they're going to be like, oh, ours is the fastest, just back and forth. And that they'll claim that, they'll say that. And then, you know, Intel will put out something. It's just back and forth. It's just, and we kind of act like this isn't what's been going on for literally like a decade with them, you know?
Oh, I don't know if a decade, no.
But like since Ryzen, this kind of been the thing. It's like just back and forth, and they're going to claim they have the fastest one. And it's just like, we're not getting anything. I mean, we're getting new architecture, sure, and more performance, sure, but it's just the same back and forth marketing, the same thing, the same, essentially the same models too, just higher clocks or things like that. Yeah. Pseudoscientist in the chat. The service might work for a person who travels a lot. Yeah. If you want to get some gaming in and you don't have, and you don't, one, you don't want to lug around a big gaming laptop, and two, you are traveling, you want to get some gaming in. It's just,
you're relying on that internet.
Yeah, you could.
Bring your Starlink dish with you.
And Oldman says his internet provider has a data. That's crazy. In 2024. I had one. Really? Do you have one now?
Until last week, no.
Okay. Yeah, no. Like I have AT&T fiber. There's no data cap. I guess Comcast used to have a data cap.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. So. No data caps. Data caps are bad, especially when you're like doing a new build and you have to re-download all your games. I mean, that's a lot of data that you're pushing. So, and if you're streaming a lot, like I don't really have cable, so I'm streaming all the time. That's a lot of data, all that kind of stuff. Doing this podcast, everything. So
it all takes data.
Yeah. G-Skill Trident Z Royal Neo. This was shown at Computex. They announced it officially, made for Ryzen 9000 series, 8,000 megahertz. You're right. Like this,
just get rid of that stupid font. Like
this font,
and then they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Just who's keeping that around?
We should make a petition. What do you guys think in the chat? What do you think of this font on the Trident Z Royal Neo? This is the same font they used on Trident Z. And their Trident Z5, as well as the original Trident Z. The overall design is fine because it looks sick with the crystallized diffuser. Yeah. But yeah, this is the way it's been. Would you guys want different text on this?
A different font or just none? Like none and more like lines?
Or like engraved.
That was what I was going to say next. Was like engraved or something?
Engraved or like. Is there like a Trident Z logo that's not that?
I feel like they did used to have
Like, I don't think. No. Oh, yeah, there is. Like, look at this one. Let me see if I can bring this up. Hold on.
Old man says it's fancy. Like, is that good or bad, though? Like, I can't stand it.
So, like, this Trident Z that's not the Royal has this right, logo.
Put that on there.
And or if that was engraved in it, that would be cool, you know, compared to that text. Yeah, it just makes it seem... I feel like I'm in the early 2000s looking at
this. Yes, or I'm buying it. I'm not going to say it. Yeah, it just looks like not some knockoff, like they slapped some silk screen on there and on to the next one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's the memory's fine, I'm sure, right? Like there's nothing wrong with it performance-wise.
Yeah, memory's really, great. Really and yeah. the heat spreaders are like really reflective. I have both the gold and the silver on the original Trident Z Royal, and it looks amazing. It's just, and I have Trident Z Royal in my main machine right here. The silver ones. But again, I mean, how many, you know, this is a shot.
Obviously probably don't even see it also.
Yeah. You don't see it. And again, I can't even see it on mine, 'cause it's just being reflective. Like it's, you don't see it. So yeah. But yeah, good to see. Good to see. Super, super fast Trident Z Royal. So if you wanted it, and again, good to see DDR5 Trident Z Royal as well. For everybody who's building new rigs, you can get that Trident Z Royal if that's what you want. So definitely good to see that there. Smart monitors. You ever think about picking up a smart monitor that has, you know, and has like a, I guess it's like a little Android thing in there, and then it has all your smart device, you know, you can do it in it or
play it so everybody else can see.
Yeah. So we've seen these from Samsung, and I think they are cool, especially for some people who don't like who.
So if I lived in like a studio apartment or something and maybe didn't have room for a big TV and a monitor, I think it probably makes sense, right? It's kind of that all in one. I can go to my console. I can watch Netflix. I can do whatever, you know, from a remote or something, or use it as a standard monitor. Probably makes sense. But outside of that, no.
Yeah. So this is their first 21x9, 34 inch. Most of these MyView smart monitors have been very sort of basic, which again, for somebody who's maybe you just use your monitor for a console, but you also want to maybe purpose it as a TV or something like that, or you want to stream some stuff, you could possibly do that. Or somebody who doesn't want their computer on all the time, they can just turn the monitor on and do their streaming. They don't need their PC on. It does make sense for some people. It's good to see them finally put out like a larger one and one that's curved, you know, for a lot of people. You know, so I definitely like that. And for people who, you know, you could just turn the monitor on and use some of the functionality without having to, you know, turn on your system or connect your laptop to it or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's their 34SR65QC, 34 inch, 21x9, 3440x1440. 300 nits brightness. It's pretty basic monitor, but like I said, it's good to see the ultra wide, you know, aspect ratio come to the smart monitor. And I think a lot of people will like this monitor. Obviously for us gamers, we're not all that interested in a monitor like this, but for a lot of people, I think they will be. So good to see them launch that. And then finally, Noctua seems to be having some problems with their NHD15 G2, which was recently announced as their follow-up to, of course, the iconic NHD15. There have been some issues with noise and rattling, which can be very annoying in your system. So they put out this statement that basically said that they're conducting a thorough analysis. Their suspicion is that they received a heat sink where the interlocking of the top fin had loosened a bit, probably in shipping. in that that can cause the fins to vibrate, which may result in the rattling sound. They're offering refunds to people and replacements, which is a good thing. But yeah, it's interesting to see that happen with Noctua. And the part they're talking about is this top, these top fins here might have came loose a little bit.
You get a little vibration going there. And
yeah.
Just with those thin blades, you know, fins. Yep. I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah. I have this CPU cooler. I haven't opened it yet. So I need to open it here soon so we can get the review out. But hopefully mine's not like that. I would hope not. But yeah, good to see them offer, you know, what else are they going to do? Really be like, no. Right.
Nah, too bad.
Yeah, so it's good to see them get in front of it and offer refunds and replacements. So definitely good to see that. That is it for news for the week here. Coming next week, I'm taking a look at a laptop from Aorus. This is their Aorus 16X, which, if you can guess by the name, is a 16-inch laptop here. I've been testing it. I test a lot today. It's a lot of fun. Ours has the RTX 4070. I think it's just a 4070. I don't know if it's the TI. I forget. It's the one of the 4070s in the mobile. It's not necessarily too big. It's not like the laptop that Ryan brought to CES the one year that was massive. It's not that big, but it's a bigger laptop, obviously. Lots of features in this. Great screen, all that kind of stuff. 14th gen processor in this. So excited to tell you guys about that if you're in the market for a new laptop.
Does it shoot that at the back, that Aorus logo?
I didn't look. Because it
looks like it does. Like, it looks like it projects that onto the table.
I had it sitting here, so I didn't look behind it.
Which is kind of funny, because back in the day, I reviewed the Gigabyte Aurora 3D case.
Yeah.
And they had... At the front of the case, like underneath the front fan, they had a little LED that would shine down through this piece of plastic and by default project like Gigabyte in blue light onto the desk. But you could like print out, and I did this, you could print on like transparency sheet a little, your own logo in the right size, tape it onto the little thing, and you could have your own logo that shined down on it. So it's just brought me back to that.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not.
There's still beaming logos on the desks.
I mean, I could turn it on right now and see.
Whatever. Yeah, I reviewed that thing, like, let's see here.
Long time
in ago. 2005.
Hang. Hey. Yeah.
Almost. Yeah,
that's a nice little thing.
It's neat.
We'll see if it does it. We'll stay tuned next week and I'll let you know about that. Also taking a look at another CPU cooler. This is from Scythe. This is their Muggin 6. Single tower cooler. Really excited to see how this performs, because they've always been really good with performance, as you know, when it comes to price as well. These are usually $50 to $60. So we'll see. And it's kind of like, as you can see from the pictures, a very no frills CPU cooler. But if it gets the job done, I think that's what a lot of people care about. And they're not spending like $100 on an air cooler. So excited to tell you guys about that next week as well. So we'll have that for you. And our question of the week, since we've been hearing a lot about tech issues, you know, obviously the CrowdStrike thing was massive, so you're obviously going to hear about it. But like all the issues with Intel CPUs, all the issues, you know, we had all the issues with EK, we had all the, you know, even Noctua here, we're hearing about it. And it seems like, is there more errors in hardware now, or because I just don't remember, like, say like 10, 15 years ago, do you remember hearing about like issues with computer hardware?
No, I mean, if you did, it was like, I mean, forums were like your biggest community for sharing that kind of stuff.
But because of social media,
I feel like YouTube, the 24-hour news cycle, YouTube, all of that, it can just get out there and populate a lot quicker and broader.
And I do think over the past couple of years, I think a lot of bigger YouTubers do, like, they know that content also performs well.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're pushing that type of content. But it's just like with Intel, like I just don't remember. I mean, they've had some issues in the past, but it just seems like there's just like a lot more, and a lot more companies are like putting out products, and then it's like there's issues with the product. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we just have more avenues to find and hear the news, and it was much more niched than it is now.
Yeah, I think that's definitely. I think social media definitely helps it, and I think, yeah. Now, if we continue to have crazy issues and crazy failures and things like that, then yeah, it could be the workforce. It could be just, you know, even like just like with like the Boeing thing, you know, with all their, you know, yeah, it's just like, you know, so we'll see. But hopefully, like I said, we don't continue to hear stuff, at least in the PC industry. You don't want to have to worry about buying certain parts and be like, oh, is it going to mess up because this company's known for this and that. And, you know, pseudoscientist in the chat, he said, CPUs never rusted before. I think these companies are failing victim to build and assembly. Yeah, it's like, it makes you wonder. It just makes you
squeeze in every last ounce out of those dollars, you know, every last cent out of a dollar to like be profitable and more profitable and more profitable. At some point, like, you're going to have issues with quality or something, right? Because
the thing is all these companies are like, you know, they want to appease the board, and with margins getting so tight now because inflation is so high and all of these other factors, you're right, they do want to push out stuff, and they want to push it out fast because they have to compete with, and you know, their competition puts something out, they have to put something out just as fast. Old man in the chat says, I remember the NVIDIA 970 drama over 3.5 gig of 4 gig. Yeah, but like that wasn't necessarily a hardware issue. They just kind of tried to hide it, I feel. Yeah. I don't think that was
necessary. They knew it. They knew about it and just tried
to hide it. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how things go, but I would hate to continually have issues with Intel CPUs, continually have issues with other companies, and just things aren't right. Because when you buy something, you obviously want the best quality, and you don't want issues down the line. That's just, especially when it comes to PCs, that can just ruin your whole day. So you guys, we're going to be doing some gaming. We'll be jumping over to Twitch, and Ryan will have that stream up. It's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Jump over there, playing some Apex Legends, having some fun, getting some games in. So definitely go ahead and do that. Thanks everybody for coming out in the chat. We had Old Man and Pseudoscientist and Alex in our live chat. And of course, everybody who listens to us later. We definitely appreciate you guys as well, and we will see everybody next week.